Tonight, take your Bibles and open to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. And I'm trying to get this flu or something, and my nose and head's kind of clogged up, but I pray my brain isn't tonight. Luke chapter 17, I've been kind of tossed between several things, and it's real hard for me to decide what I wanted to preach on. I got a bomb that I'm going to drop pretty soon, but I'll a bit later, amen. I started to drop it tonight, but I, you know, didn't know if you was ready for the fallout shelters or not. And I have one that the Lord's been laying on my heart, but the Lord impressed this upon my heart several weeks ago, and I didn't feel at the time was right to preach it then, but I feel that the Lord would have me bring this message tonight. Tonight I want to bring a message on why I want to see Jesus come. Why I want to see Jesus come. Luke chapter 17, beginning to read in verse 20. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. The Bible said, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. They shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat. They did eat. Hallelujah. We did eat. We eat. Amen. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Ain't no umbrella going to help you in that rain, amen. You're going to have God to protect you. And the Bible said it destroyed them all. In verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on this message tonight? Our Father, it truly will be worth it all when we see Thee. Lord, we realize tonight that this life is full of many things that we cannot understand. We realize at times we get discouraged and downtrodden, defeated, Lord, and the problems get to be more than seem to be we can bear. But we thank You, Lord, that one day when we look upon Your sweet face, it'll be worth everything that we ever went through. We pray tonight that the Holy Spirit of God would take complete control of this message tonight. Lord, You know how dumb and ignorant that I am. You know how incapable and unworthy and undeserving I am to stand and open the precious living Word of God. And that's why I pray that in this hour the Holy Spirit of God would take complete control of everything that is said and done in this message tonight. Lord, I want Your Son to be lifted up through this message tonight. I want these people to look up and see no man save Jesus only tonight. And I pray that, Lord, as the Word of God is preached and as Jesus Christ is lifted up, that people would be drawn nigh unto Him. May the Word of God meet the need of every person, every Christian that's here tonight. And Lord, if there's one here that's lost tonight, may they, before they leave this building, come to know Thee as their Savior and come to know who You, whom to know is life anew. Lord, You said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. May they come to know the only true life, and that's Thee tonight. Bless this message. Bless the Word of God. May the Spirit of God guide and direct in every word that I say tonight. And I pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen. The second coming of Jesus Christ occupies one of the biggest places in the Bible, probably of any other doctrine in all the Word of God. When you think about the second coming of Jesus Christ, it probably occupies more room than anything else in the Bible. When you deal with the Old Testament, three-fourths of the Old Testament deals with Jesus Christ coming back. When you get into Isaiah and Jeremiah and minor prophets, it has application to the things that were in the future, yet it has application to the things that are yet to come in the tribulation, the millennium, and when Jesus Christ comes. When you get in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you read a lot of things in there that were taking place at times in His life, but these things are also going to take place at the second coming.
You get into Revelation, you have a whole book dealing with one subject, and that's when Jesus Christ will come back again. Now, Luke chapter 17, we have a portion of Scripture that deals with Him coming back and is doctrinally applying to the tribulation period. And when He'll come back to this earth, and yet tonight I want to take it and apply it to the time that we live in. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And I believe that the days of Noah apply not only the tribulation period, but they apply to the time that we're living in right now. You say, well, how do you know it? Because I see things going on that are in the Bible that said they would go on. Amen? I may be dumb, but I'm not ignorant. Amen? I may be stupid, but I can read something in there and see it. And I believe that the days of Lot we're living in right now, and I believe that the time for Jesus Christ to come back is very, very near. I believe He could come back tonight. You say, you really believe that? I sure do. I wish He would. Amen? I'm kind of tired of me, and I'm tired of this life. Amen? I'm tired of all that it has, and I'd just soon go home and be with Him tonight as to be with anybody. But the Bible says here in Luke 17, talking about the kingdom of God, notice what it says in verse 22. The Bible said, and He said unto His disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. Now, you know what He said there? He said, the days are going to come when things are going to get in such a situation that you would desire to see the days of the Son of Man. And, beloved, I believe today that as true Christians and Bible believers, we live in that time right now. I believe that the Bible tells you and I that we're to be looking for His coming, we're to be waiting, we're to be watching, we're to be praying, and the Bible says we're to be loving His appearing and when it takes place. And I know we've heard much about the second coming, but tonight, for the next few minutes, I just want to bring you a few things of why I want to see Jesus come. Why I want to see Jesus come. Now, these are all going to be real homiletical and real right down the line. Number one, the world is in a mess. Amen? That's homiletical as you'll ever get. Amen? The world is in a mess. I hate to bust your little apple cart, and I hate to knock your wagon over, but I want to tell you television and newspaper and radio and colleges are the biggest liars that ever lived. Contrary to what they might tell you, this world is not getting to be a better place to live, but every day that Jesus Christ tarries, it's getting worse and worser and worser, amen, until He comes back again, amen? I don't care what they say. They don't have enough sense to know. All they got to do is open their eyes and look around and see that this world we live in today is in a mess. Darwin was right, but he just had reversed what was going on. Amen? I don't believe in evolution, but I believe in devolution. Amen? And I believe that's what we're having today, and the world is in a bigger mess than it's ever been before. When we think about the condition of the United States of America, when we think about the condition of this world and the things that are going on, nobody that was in their right mind couldn't at least open their eyes and see that this world is in a bigger mess as it's ever been in before. The Bible said in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving them. What do you think you're doing right now? The same thing. Amen? Listen to me. You're living today to see the Bible fulfilled before your eyes. Somebody said, how do you know the Bible's the Word of God? Open your eyes, dummy. Amen? You don't have to live around and say, I don't believe it. Well, open your eyes. You'll see it fulfilled. Amen? The Bible said in Solomon Gomorrah, the day that fire and brimstone lit, what did they have? Homosexuals, lesbians, sex perverts. And listen, we're living in that condition today. Amen? Listen, I had never had anything, I don't think, that to grip my heart as much as coming back from Michigan with Dr. Ruttman on the airplane. And I picked up this Seventh-day Adventist magazine or something like that. Been kind of dull, and I was looking for a good joke that day. And they had a good article in there that I'll never forget. Well, I'm going to bring it and read to you out of there. But I was literally shocked to read some of the things that were going on in this world today. I read in there the pornography. I read in there of young boys, 13 and 14, 15 years old, who were male prostitutes selling their bodies on the street. Of one boy who was personally interviewed was 15 years old that had over 200 times sold his body already. They said, well, you must be rich. And he said, no, man, I'm not rich. I got a habit. He said, I got to have a trick to pay for the habit. Shame, shame, mess, a mess. Listen, man, I read down on that article, I read where the big thing in pornography today is for little children between 8 and 12 years old, and many of the parents permit their children to be sold to pornography magazines that their children can commit acts of sex and immorality with other adults so they can be pictured and taken and put in a paper. Now you tell me we're not in a mess. You tell me this world isn't confused. You tell me the minds of these people have not become more perverted and filthy than ever before on the face of this earth. Shame. I read in that article where one mother actually took her own children, performed acts of sex that they could actually photograph and read it. You say you shouldn't talk about stuff like that. Open your eyes and see what we're living in today. Brother, we're living in a cesspool. We're living in hell. I tell you, there's some truth to the fact that this earth is hell. Amen? Listen to me. We're living in it. And if you're saved, this is the closest you're ever going to get to it. And it's so close to it, it makes me sick. I'd want to go to heaven for no other reason. See how dirty man can get up on this earth. Amen? Listen to me. We live in a world that is full of confusion. We live in a world that is in a mess. Not long ago, we found that the leaders of our country were in a mess. Amen? I said something about old Peanut fella not long ago at a church, and a fella come up to me and jumped on me after the service, Jimmy Carter. All I said was I could never find anybody voted for him. Amen? I mean, kind of like one of these guys that get in while they're running. Oh, yes, sir, we're going to vote for him. Then we get in and be a dud like the rest of them. You can't ever find nobody voted for him. Well, I didn't vote for him. How'd he get in? I don't know. I made a statement. The fellow come up to me and he said, oh, you shouldn't talk about the President of the United States. He's a Christian. You know what I said? I said, brother, I said, let me tell you something. Come here. Put my arm around him, just as sweet and kind and nice as I could be. I said, let me tell you something. I pray that he is a Christian. I hope that he's a Christian. I said, sometime or another, I think he made a profession that he was a Christian. But I said, don't talk to me about anybody being saved and born again and take a 30-minute inauguration address to the United States of America and never mention God, Jesus, or the name of the Lord one time. I said, if he's a Christian, he's the sorriest one I ever seen. Amen. You say, well, you shouldn't talk about it. I'm trying to get you to see what a mess this old world is in. Amen. Brother, this old world is not a friend to God. It's God's enemy, and it's enemy to you and I. Why anybody would want to continue to live in this world is beyond me. I want to go. Amen. Amen. Brother, when I look around me and when I see this world and when I see that the world, listen to me, in 6,000 years, they've never solved the major problems that are in this world. Listen, when this world was created, we had poverty, and we got poverty today. When this world was created, we had crime and corruption, we got crime and corruption today. When this world was created, sin came in, and they've never been able to get rid of sin as yet. Listen to me, when this world was created, we had invalids, and we've got them today. When this world was created, we got disease, and we got it now today. And I only see but one hope for this world, and that is for Jesus Christ to come back. Brother, this world today is in a mess, and when we talk about the world, I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about the good old United States of America that was once a great country, once a God-fearing country, but now has turned the back on the living God and upon the living Word of God. Beloved, the only hope for this world is for Jesus Christ to come back again. I have no hope in the United Nations. I have no hope in them ever being anything. Amen? Well, they said, we're going to make the United Nations and they'll bring about peace. Baloney. We've had more wars since they came into existence than we ever had before. Amen? Kind of funny. Amen? You never have peace without the Prince of Peace. Amen? And you know what? This world is in a mess. They talk about the things and the dope that is in this world today. You know, I was shocked to read how many people were on dope. How many people were taking it today? You know, we'd probably be shocked if we took a survey here tonight of how many people have tried dope. I bet it would push near 50% of the people in here. Some of you wouldn't raise your hand. You'd be a little bashful. Some of you young people wouldn't want to raise your hand right now. Amen. But you'd be shocked as to what it was. I read the other day of an article where somebody was telling me of dope and a new kind of dope that they had found, something that was beyond LSD or anything that they had found, just really give you a trip. And they had no way, a lot of times, of getting the person back off of it. That is, sometimes they got on the trip and they just stayed there forever. They didn't die, they just stayed on the trip. They had one guy and they put him in a padded cell and he began to scream and holler. They had the jacket on him. They took the jacket off of him, and he began to scream, and he began to holler, and they didn't know what he had taken. They didn't know what he had consumed. They didn't even know what kind of a thing that had made him do this, and so they didn't know anything they could help him, but they put him in that padded cell, thinking he would not hurt himself, and he began just to holler, saying, "They're all over me." He said, "They're just crawling on me." He said, "Can't you get them off? Can't you get them off?" And he began to scream, and he began to scratch himself, and he scratched his own eyeballs right out of his head. Now listen to me, beloved. You talk about a mess. This world is in a mess. When you talk about something being confused, when you talk about the days of Noah and the days of Lot, we have surpassed the iniquity and the wickedness and the pollution of any nation and country and any world that ever lived. There's but one thing that can cure it. Come on, Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's but one cure that can be found. That's for Jesus Christ to come back again. You say, "Why are you talking so much about Him coming?" That's the only thing that can cure it. Amen. "Why are you hollering so much about you want Him to come?" That's the only thing that can cure it. Man without Him is futile to do it. The world is in a mess, and not only that, Jesus Christ will get His rightful place. Jesus Christ will get His rightful place. Now, I don't want you to mistake what I'm about to say, but I want you to know I mean it and believe it with all of my heart. I long for the day when Jesus Christ rules and reigns upon this earth. Now, I do not long for the damnation of anybody. God is my witness tonight. I have not the hatred in my heart for any human being that I would joy or enjoy seeing them damned. I would not. You think about that. Now, you've got some enemies. I got some enemies. One or two, every now and then. Amen. I got some enemies. You do too. Everybody that lives, if you move, you're going to create some enemies. If you do something, you're going to create them. You don't want to make any enemies. Do nothing, be nothing, say nothing. Amen. You won't make no enemies. You'll be nobody. You'll just go around. But listen, everybody's got them. But tonight, I think about the worst enemy I got. I wouldn't want to see him burning. I wouldn't want to see him screaming. I wouldn't want to see him in hell burning forever. I want to see him get saved. Amen. I want to see him get saved. You say, "What is that?" That's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. That's not me. If it was me, there'd be a lot of people I'd like to see out of the way. But Jesus had His love. The Bible said, "God is not willing that any should perish." It's not God's will that any man die and go to hell. When he goes to hell, it's his own will. In rejection of God's. But listen, beloved, tonight, I want to see Jesus Christ set upon the throne of David and rule and reign. I'm so tired of people taking His name in vain and cursing. I'll tell you, they got all kinds. You know, they go around Jesus Christ, and then if you want to reform it, it's all different kinds of things you can reform. I'm so tired of it. I'd like to take them aside and deal with them a little bit. Amen? You say it gets under your skin? You better believe it gets under your skin. You better believe. It makes me mad, and it makes me upset. Amen? We live in a world today that has no room for Jesus Christ. The world has no room for Him. The United States has no room for Him. Most churches in America have no room for Him. And most of the hearts of the people in this world have no room for Jesus Christ. And the shame is that instead of Him being in the rightful place where He ought to be, His name is used as a curse word, as a byword. People talk about Him as if He was nobody. And you know, one of these days, He's going to sit upon the throne, and every knee is going to bow. Amen. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'll tell you, that excites me. Hallelujah. I sat there in the study the other day and got so mad at some person I could have had him, I'd have killed him. Amen. I'm glad the Lord didn't give him to me. He'd been dead. Amen. I read something somebody said about him. I sat in there one day, and somebody read and said he was a homosexual. I said, "Fell, if you was here, me and you'd have it." Amen. I said, "God keep him away." Amen. I don't know who he is. Say, "Well, it might whip you." No, he knew he had some action if he did. Amen. I'll tell you, it makes me mad, and the flesh begins to rile. People say, "Well, he was a homosexual. He had an affair with Mary, Martha. That's why he loved him so much. He was born illegitimately and out of wedlock." And you know what? The same tongue that has professed that one day bow the knee. One day, same tongue. I think of old Mary Baker Eddy. Hallelujah. She's going to bow. Amen. Amen. Beloved, it does my heart to good to know that he'll be on the throne. It does my heart good to know that for once we'll have a man that knows how to reign and will do it in a right way. Old Flabberjaws O'Hare will bow. Amen. Ah, it does my heart good. You say, don't make fun of people. Make fun of me. Amen. Say, I'm a nut. They're nuts too. Amen. You say, well, you shouldn't talk like that. I wouldn't have said, I know you wouldn't. That's why I did it. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you, it does my heart good because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. Beloved, one day, the devil himself. Brother, you ever think about that? Hallelujah. Amen. Every demon, every person, every man that ever lived, every individual is going to bow their knee and they're going to confess with their tongue that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, beloved, won't that be a good day? I mean, won't that be a good day? Won't have to write no letters to congressmen no more. I mean, we won't have to worry about the income tax no more. We won't have to worry about any kind of tax because there'll be no complaints. Amen. We'll have somebody that rules and reigns in a way that will please every one of us. I'm wanting to see him come because the rightful place will be given to him. Not only that, I want to see Jesus come back so that we can be rid of sin. Be rid of sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure get tired of sinning. I don't know about you as a Christian, but I get awful tired of getting on my knees and repeating the same thing over and over again. I get awful tired of getting on my knees and saying, Lord, well, I failed you today. I've let you down. I said there was a track that I should have put out over there, and I didn't put it out. I said, Lord, I should have studied this. I didn't study it. Lord, I should have took time over here. I didn't take time. Lord, I had a whole hour there, and I just wasted it, fooled around, and did nothing. And you know what? I get tired of sin. And listen to me. Anybody that is a sinner, and anybody that knows the results of sin, will be glad for a place to be rid of sin. Listen to me. The world, with all the smart and intellectual man they can, cannot solve the sin problem in this world. And there's but one person that can. And that's Jesus Christ. Beloved, because of sin is disease. Because of sin is heartaches. Because of sin is tears. Because of sin is sorrow. Would make fun of sin. You say, well, I live with a lot of fools. You better believe it. You live with a lot of people that every day sin is very funny. But it's not funny to me. It saddens my heart. Not too many years ago, I went to make a visit in the hospital. I visited a relative of mine, my dad's aunt. I went by to see her, and she was dying with sugar diabetes. She'd had it most of her life and tried to control it, and yet she couldn't. There's not much they can do about it. Just pray and kind of do the best they can. They had taken her toes off in one foot, and then her foot, then her leg. Then they went to the other leg, her toes, foot, leg. And that was all they could do. They'd taken off both their legs, and she said, that's all. She said, you ain't going to take no more off. In the last operation, they took her one leg off right up to the hip. And she was a woman that was saved, and she was born again. She knew the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I went up to the hospital to visit her and got off the elevator, and I heard somebody moaning and groaning over halfway down the hall. I just heard them crying, saying, it just hurts so much. It just hurts so much. And I went down there and turned in the door, and it was her. And she said, oh, Jimmy. She said, Jimmy, can't anybody stop this pain that I've got? She said, my legs are killing me. She said, where they cut this leg off, she said, it's killing me. And I touched her, and she was hot like you'd take your hand, put it on a stove. She said, I'm just burning up. And I looked at her, and I said, Lord, I said, ma'am, I said, what am I going to say? What am I going to tell her? And she said, can't the doctors give me something? Can't they do anything? I said, well, they've done all that they can. And I said, there's nothing, anything they can really do. And she looked at me and she said, Jim, I'm so tired of this life. She said, I'm here today because of sin and wickedness in my life.
And she said, I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven. But she said, I'm just so tired of hurting. She said, I'm just so tired of being in pain. I'm just so tired of being in this life. She said, isn't there anything that can help? And I said, there's nobody or nothing that can help but Jesus. And I said, we just have to pray that God will comfort you. And God will take care of you while you're here. And she said, Jim, you pray. She said, you pray, because I like to hear you pray. She said, you pray. You pray that if God can't comfort me, he'll take me home, because I'm just tired. She said, I'm just so tired of being sick. She said, I'm so tired of hurting. She said, Jimmy, you know what it is to hurt 24 hours a day? She said, do you know what it is to be in pain 24 hours a day, so bad that you can't sleep, so bad that you can't eat, so bad that you can't think, so bad that all you can think about is your pain? And I said, no. I said, I sure don't. And she said, I've lived that way for years. And she said, I'm tired. And I'm tired. She bowed her head, and I got down beside the bed, and I began to pray. And I couldn't hardly pray for crying. And I said, Lord, I said, you just take care of her now. I said, I can't do anything for her. But I said, I know one thing, Lord, that I'm tired of seeing her hurt and pain. Lord, if you can't comfort her, can you take her home? And I opened my eyes and got up, and she'd kind of relaxed. And she said, Jimmy, I'm glad you prayed, because that's exactly what I want. And I said, well, you lay down and you rest. She laid down and rested, and I went back the next day to see her, and she was gone, dead, out into eternity. And I sat down beside the bed, and I started to cry. And I said, no, sir, uh-uh. Ain't no time to cry now. It's time to rejoice. I said, ain't no time to weep now. It's time to bring out the songs of gladness and joy, because she's went on to be with Jesus. Listen, I stood that not long after that and preached the funeral. I said, Aunt Lily, I said, she suffered all of her life. And I said, I'd sit by her bed many a times and shed a lot of tears and prayed she'd get better. And I said, some of you sitting here looking me in the eyeball, all of my relatives and loved ones are there. I said, some of you think sin is funny. And I said, some of you think it's a joke. And some of you, since the Lord has called me to preach, have tried to get me to sin and do things that are wrong. And I said, nobody thought sin was funny when she was suffering. I said, did nobody come by and laugh at her? And I said, I'll tell you something today. Her suffering has ceased forevermore. Amen. I said, she's went to a land where sin has no place. Amen. I said, she's went to be with the Lord and live for Him, with Him forevermore. And beloved, I want to get rid of sin. I want to leave it behind. I'm so tired of looking at myself and seeing myself and my body. I'm so tired of wanting with all of my heart so much to do something and I can't. I've had it. I want to serve Him all the way, completely. Yet every time I take a step forward, something seems to want to pull me back to. Every time I strive to want to do something right, when I do good, evil is present with me. Listen, beloved, I want to go to a place where I can do whatever I want, say whatever I want to say, think whatever I want to do, 24 hours a day, every day in the week, every day in the month, in the year, and it'll please Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, that's why I want to see Him come. I'm tired of it. I've had it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of seeing what sin will do. I'm tired of sitting beside the bedside and see people suffer, see sickness and see disease take people out of this life. I'm tired of sitting beside the bedside in the homes of people that sin has robbed them of some things they could have in this life. I want Jesus to come back so I can be rid of sin. And not only that, I want Jesus to come back so that we can be united with our loved ones and friends once again. Now, you know, it'll be a happy day when we'll be united up there. Down here we have what we call family reunion. I guess it's always kind of a happy day. Family, and we have a big meal. I like any time we eat, it's good. Amen. I like that. And we'd get together and we'd have a big meal. We'd see so and so we hadn't seen in a long time. You know, they'd come up to you. My, look how he's grown. Boy, you know, all that kind of stuff like that. I you know, now I kind of like it too much, but you know, here they come. And
Here you come. Well, there's Bill McGahee. What's your name? Jim McGahee. Are you Bill McGahee's son? Yeah, that's me. Oh, you're his oldest one. Yeah, that's me. Boy, you're sure going. Yeah, what do you think I'm going to do? Amen. I mean, you get lay down and die or something. I mean, you know, a lot of things. But it was good to see all the family, see them get around, sit around the table. Since I got saved, family reunions are not what they used to be. And they asked me to come to one. I said, I'll be glad to come to one. I said, I'll be glad. No drinking, no booze, no cursing. I'll be there. Well, we can't promise you. I said, I won't be there then. Well, we'll try to keep everybody from drinking. I said, all right, I'll come. I came. I was there about 2 hours. Had a good time going around and witnessing everybody could. Amen. It was good. I enjoyed it. And after a while, somebody brought out some beer. I said, I'll see you later. I'm leaving. And they said, well, you don't have to drink it. I said, I know that. Don't tell me, I ain't going to, amen. They said, you don't have to drink it. I said, that's nice of you. I appreciate that. They said, they just going to drink it. You just be here where it's at. I said, no, sir. Ain't no way. I said, suppose I sit down beside some of you and sit down at the table and the beer can got to sit down there. And I said, somebody come by and seen it. How would they know I wasn't drinking it? Amen. And I said, now I'm leaving, but I said, let's have a word of prayer before I go. I said, I'd like to do all things with prayer, amen. Nobody bowed their head much, me and the wife. We had a word of prayer. And I haven't been invited back to a family reunion since, amen. I don't understand it. For the life of me, I can. I mean, I thought I was pretty nice when I was there. I tried to be as good as I could. They was telling me everything that was new, so I was telling them what was new with me. Jesus and the Bible and everything. That's the only thing I had. I mean, you know, you be around your loved ones that are not saved. One, you know, just a couple hours and that's it. I mean, the weather doesn't last long. I mean, you know, it's gone after a while. You can't talk about it for much more than 10, 15 minutes. And then I can talk to them about a ball game or something like that, but don't keep up with it like I used to. I don't, you know, you play one or two football games and that's over. And you go fishing a couple times and that's done. You can chase the coon dogs one trip around the lot, but that's over, you know. 2 or 3 hours, it's finished. And you just sit there and look at each other. You know what to say. So I just start talking about Jesus. Amen. I figure we could talk about that. But you know, family reunions down here at times are kind of sad. They usually have me lead in prayer, ask a blessing on the food. You know, they want to do that. They like to do that and have me do it sometimes. And it's good. And a lot of some of them bow their head and some of them don't. And I look down the table and I think of those that are lost. It's kind of sad. Kind of sad. But you know, there'll be a good reunion one day. There'll be a reunion when we step out on the street of gold. And we see our loved ones that have went on before us. Amen. I've got a grandmother that I've never seen. She died the year I was born with cancer, but she was a sweet Christian lady. It was my dad's mother. And he said all of their life she told him about Jesus and the Bible and the Word of God. Said she used to take them aside and preach to them about being saved and being born again. My grandfather was a drunkard then. He never did much. He was a hard worker, but he drank a lot and didn't believe on Jesus. Neither did none of my dad's brothers and sisters. None of them ever got saved. But she said she preached to us all of her life. Said when she died, she laid on the bed and got ready to leave this life. And she said, well, the room's getting dark. How about turning on the light? And she said, well, I don't need no light. It's getting lighter. And she said, well, look over there. There's Noah. So there's Abraham. And just went on off like that. Amen. And he said, you know, I'll never forget that. My dad said, he said, I was lost, but he said, I'll never forget it. You know, we just said, well, she was out of her head, talking crazy. And he said, now that I'm saved, I know what she was seeing. Amen. He said, now that I'm saved, he said, I know exactly. One day I'm going to walk down the street of gold, and I'm going to see her. Amen. I had a great grandmother and grandfather that are in heaven. I've seen them, but it's been a while. They died, both of them, while I was in Bible school. I went home to see them at the funeral and be there at that time. One of them was saved when they were 13. One of them was saved when they was 14. My great-grandfather lived to be 98. My great-grandfather, 94. Lived and worked. He worked and raised his own garden till he was 90 years old. He plowed his garden. He said he had a rototiller. No, sir. He had an old single-row cultivator. Amen. He pushed it himself and did it till he was 90 years old. Built him a fence around his own house. Never forget it. Two of the sweetest, finest Christian people that I ever knew. All he did was sit every day and read his Bible. That's all. He said, well, he talked, you know, they don't say much words. He didn't mince many words, that's all. Said, Jim, said, can't do nothing. Said, just sit around, read my Bible,
And I said, well, tell me something you read. Oh, he said, I read a good one today. And he'd go on, amen. I mean, quote that Bible, he could tell you any place. You just mention, he'd just pop it right off like that. My great-grandmother's the same way. Sweet, love Jesus and love God. One day I'm going to see him. One day I'm going to be with them. I've got loved ones that'll be there and we'll be united. And you know what? I'm going to be reunited with some of the people that God has given me the privilege of leading to Jesus Christ. That'll be good to see my loved ones, but it'll be good to see them. Amen. You know, one of these days when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk down the street of gold and I'm going to see Mr. Heiser. I'm going to walk up to him and he's going to put his arm around me. And I'm going to put my arm around him. We're going to hug and shout and jump up and down, run up and down the street two or three times. And nobody will even think we're crazy. Amen. They'll look at us and say, amen, look at there, brother, another happy reunion. Amen. They'll say, have at it. Amen. They'll enjoy it. Because a few years ago, me and another preacher went into a home of an old man who was in his chair dying. He'd had several heart attacks and a stroke, and his wife was a Christian. Some of the family had asked me to come by and visit. We visited, talked to him about Jesus, got down beside him, said, don't you want to trust Jesus? Don't you want to get saved? Tears ran down his face, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. His wife was saved in the other chair. She couldn't walk. I thought she was going to jump out of that chair. Amen. She got rejoicing and praising the Lord. She says, there's but one thing I want. Said, I want a Bible with some big print to read. And I said, well, I'll go get it. I went and got it and brought one back in. Gave it to her. He lived 4 weeks after that. And she said, you know, she said, we've been married nearly 50 years. And said, those 4 weeks were the sweetest 4 weeks we ever had. I said, what'd you do? Said, well, we turned on the TV a little bit. And then Mr. Heiser said, turn it off and get out that book and read. Amen. And said, what for? I said, well, that book's got something better to say than they do on there. Amen. She said, Brother Jim, for 4 weeks, we'd just sit here and I'd read to him. He'd cry a while, and I'd stop and cry, and then we'd pray, and we'd eat, and then we'd read again. I said, amen. You was almost in heaven, didn't know it. Amen. I said, you get it. They just rejoice. One day, it'll be a sweet reunion when I see him. Amen. One day, it'll be a glad day. Last of all, most important, why I want Jesus to come is I'll see him. I'll see him. I'll see him. I said I'll see him. Amen. Amen. If you're saved, you'll see him. Amen. Amen. So long we've talked about him. Christianity's kind of a strange thing when you ever sit down and think about it. We've preached about him. We've told other people about him. We've taught people about him. We've tried to live for him. And yet we've never seen him. Strange, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of a weird, but when you think about it, it's kind of unusual. The Bible said that by faith, we can perceive things that are yet invisible to the eye. And we can. We can see him. We can see him who's afar off through the eye of faith. And yet, beloved, I've never seen him with human eyes. I've seen him in the Word of God as he entered in Genesis and spoke worlds and planets into creation. Seen him in Exodus as he delivered his children in a wonderful way and built a tabernacle for his name. I've seen him as he came through Samuel and Kings, the kings that loved God and didn't. I've seen Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. I've seen him in the life of David. What a beautiful way. I've seen him come in there in Matthew and do some miracles that no man had ever done. And I see him through the rest of the writings and he dying for me. I've seen him in the book of Revelation, what he's going to do in the future. But all of that is by faith, by the word of God. One day, my eyes are going to behold him. One day, I'm going to see him, and I'm going to look at him. You know, one time I'd finished witnessing to some of my relatives real hard. And I gave my cousin the mark of the beast to read. He was lost. I figured I'd give him something that might shake him. Amen. I mean, kind of a hard fellow. I figured I'd give him a nice book. So I gave him the Mark of the Beast. And I said, now you promise me you'll read that book. He said, all right, Jim, I'll do it. I gave him a couple weeks, and I went back. And I went in there, and I said, did you read that book? Yeah, he said, I sure did. And I looked at him, and I said, you see anything interesting in there? He said, like this scared me to death. He said, you mean everything going to happen in there? I said, yes, sir. He said, you mean Jesus Christ is really coming back? I said, yeah. And I said, listen to me, Rodney. I said, there may be one thing more sure than death.
and that's for Jesus Christ to come back. Because I said, some of us are never going to die. Amen? I said, we're going to see him. And boy, I tell you, it's scary. I got witnessing to him, and he didn't get saved. But I just kept going on that thing about Jesus coming back. And he said, well, I just can't believe it. I just can't see it. I went home that night, and I'd been talking about that thing so much, I went to sleep and had a dream about Jesus coming back. I really did. Wildest thing I've ever seen. It's not scriptural now. This is not, you know, I'm not Gene Dixon giving you this thing here. I got more than she's got in the Word of God. Amen? I can tell you what's going to happen, give you the events, how they're going to happen. But I had a dream, and I dreamed that Jesus came back. I just see it as beautiful, just as light shining that nobody could approach to. And he said, come up hither. And I will tell you, it was a good dream. Amen? I tried to dream it every night, but I couldn't yet. About 50 feet above the earth and suspended in space. And I dreamed that he was in the clouds so that you couldn't see him, but it was a bright light. And I dreamed that I could fly. And I'd fly over every house I'd ever witnessed to and holler and wake him up. And here I was in this dream saying, hey, come out here, come out here. I want to show you something. And they'd come outside and they'd say, what do you want, you nut? What are you doing up there? And I said, I've been telling you about Jesus coming back. And I said, look, there he is, there he is, there he is. I said, you haven't believed me, you haven't listened to me, now you done messed around and missed it, amen? I just put it on him, amen? I said, there he is, and you never believed a word that I ever said. And went long till I woke up. And I said, I tried to go back to sleep real quick, amen? But you know what I thought about that? And I woke up the next day. And I said, I am really going to see him. I said, I'm going to look at him. I'm going to look at the one who loved me and died for me. Why do I want him to come back? Because I want to see him. I want to see him. A lady slipped over the side of the ship one day, and when she did, she was drowning. All the other people kind of stood by and watched, but one man took his shoes and as much clothes as he could and jumped into the same water and risked his own life. And as she went down for the last time, he dove under the water and pulled her out. They got her on the side of the ship. And when they did, they began to work with her. And finally, they brought her back to consciousness and brought her back to life. When she woke up, they said, it's all right now. Everything's all right. Here's your husband. She said, I don't want to see my husband. She said, here's your kids. She said, I want to see my kids. Said, who you want to see? She said, I want to see the fella that saved me. She said, I want to see the fella who saved me. She said, I want to see the fella who saved me. Beloved, when I get to heaven, friends and loved ones can wait just a few seconds. Because I want to see him who died for me. I want to see the fella that saved this old rotten sinner. Let's bow our heads for prayer.